Guys, it is great to see you all here tonight. Who's hands up? Who's first JWoww Live is this? Wow! Give a round of applause. Are you enjoying it so far? Good. Hands up if you've been to every single JWoww Live so far. Represent, guys. Represent. Good stuff. So I'm going to give you a bit of a plan of what I'm going to be speaking on tonight. What I'm going to be speaking on is our friendship with one another, of how we react towards one another, about how we're brothers and sisters in Christ together, and how Jesus is our ultimate friend, and how we can make that happen. But I want to talk about how are you influenced? Are you one of those people? Because I am at some stage. Are you one of those people when you haven't eaten in a while, your mood just goes like pshum, straight down? I am one of those people. Hands up if you're one of those people. The fact that they've actually made a word for this called hangry, where you're angry and hungry, is just amazes me. So when I haven't eaten in a while, people will tell you I get a bit moody and I'm not my usual self. Or maybe you're influenced by grades in school. You get good grades in school, life is buzzing. Maybe you don't get good grades in school and it's like the end of the world is going to happen. And it's not that great. Now, who remembers what tournament was on during the summer?
The football.
What was it also called? The World Cup. The FIFA World Cup was on during the summer. And I was back home in Belfast all summer, but we were obviously still watching it. And England did pretty well, didn't they? England did pretty well. So I'm not going to say anything bad about England tonight, don't worry. But England did pretty well. But even if you didn't like football, you started to get on board with this. We were hearing on the news of these crazy parties and everyone was joining in. Everyone got on board because the England football team were doing well. Whether you liked football or not, you were influenced by it. You were influenced by it. And we can be influenced by our friends in sometimes a positive way, a really good way, and sometimes not so good a way. And I want to talk to you about a guy who influenced me quite a lot. And he's influenced a lot of people here, and his name's Jesus. He's influenced me by his amazing grace. Now, maybe you're thinking, oh, Jimmy, amazing grace, like, what are you talking about here? Well, God's grace is that he came as the Son of God, came into the world and died for each of our sins. The amazing grace, and we didn't deserve any of it. We didn't deserve any of it. He's influenced me by blessing me so much, blessing me coming over to England, blessing me with you guys are great, blessing me with guidance, with choosing school, with Ruth, yeah. with guidance, with choosing jobs, with choosing school, who my friends are, how we speak to each other. Jesus has that amazing influence on us. But still, although we're influenced by Jesus, we can still have that wrong side to us where we do something wrong. One easy trap we fall into, whether it's with our teams or school, is gossip. We fall into the gossip trap sometimes where we just join in with it. It's so easy to join in with the gossip because, yeah, we're influenced by it a little bit. But our friends are doing it and they have an influence on me. So, yeah, although it's not right in God's eyes, I just join in with it at the minute. And we know deep down when we start to join in with it that it's not right. And Paul actually writes about this in Romans 12:2. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, what does that mean? Do not conform to the patterns of this world. Hold on a second, Jamie. What does that actually mean? Well, what that actually means is the world view and what the world does can be sometimes, it's the gossip side of things. It's the things that aren't right in God's eyes, is those worldly things. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. be transformed by what God's done in your life, by what Jesus has done in each and every one of our lives. And this isn't that, oh, God's put all these rules in place. You know what, maybe you've been being a Christian, or you're maybe thinking about becoming a Christian, you think, you know, it just seems a bunch of rules. It just seems a bunch of this or that. I can't do this and I can't do this. But it's not. God wants you to live the best life possible. He has the best life planned for each and every one of you. So what more reason to follow him? He wants you to live life and live life to its fullest. He loves hearing you laugh. He loves seeing you hang out with your friends. He loves you so much and wants the best for you. But maybe you still think, nah, Jamie, it's still a bunch of rules. Well, imagine this. Has anyone got a TV in the room? Okay. So, or TV in your house, and your mum and dad come home with the new TV, and they say to you, here you go, here's your new TV, or here's our family's new TV. We have to go out. Can you set it up? And you open it up, and you look, you get it all out of the box. Whoa, it looks good. And you're looking at the instructions for it, and it says, do not bring into contact with water. And you're thinking, what? They say I can't put it in water. I've just went out and bought this. Why can I not put this in water? You know what? I'm just going to go do it. You know what? Stuff the rules. I'm going to go put this TV in water. It just doesn't happen. It's mayhem. It's mayhem. It's mayhem. It's not what's meant to be. And that's a bit like God with the Bible. He gives us these instructions to help us, to lead us, so we have clear guidance. As we listen to these instructions, that's how we live life to its fullest. And as we live life to its fullest, we can be friends with people. We maybe have friends who aren't Christians yet. And you know what? That is great. And if you've brought them along tonight, even better. You're so welcome here, and we love seeing you. But I want to ask those, when was the last time you told someone about Jesus? When was the last time you told one of your friends about Jesus? Now, this doesn't have to mean, just say the name Jesus to people over and over again. But telling them, oh, you know what, I live this life and I follow Jesus. And it's the best life. I have loads of friends at church. And yeah, God's got a plan for my life. But when was the last time you told someone about Jesus? Maybe you think, I don't do that, telling about Jesus. I don't know the words to say to people. I don't have the courage to say to people about it. Just leave that up to them, people. Just leave that up to the youth leaders and youth pastors and the older kind of youth. I don't need to be doing that. There was a guy, a pastor in North Carolina called Stephen Furtick. He leads a church called Elevation Church. And he once wrote a book a few years ago. And the book was called Unqualified. Unqualified. There is no qualification needed to tell people about Jesus. There's no qualification needed. And maybe you're thinking, but how do you get the words out? When you accepted Jesus into your heart, when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came into you as well. And he will give you the words to say. He will give you the courage and boldness. And we do this not just because, we have to go tell people about Jesus and have to go love people. But we do it out of a motivation for love. We do it as a motivation. Our motivation is to go and love people. Go and love them and tell them about the awesome news that Jesus has died for them. But maybe you're sitting there thinking, okay, Jamie, I get that, but it's hard. When my friends want to go do something and I know it's not right and it's not right in God's eyes, but I just feel like I have to go do it to seem good. I want to ask you this question. Are you living for the acceptance of your friends? Or are you satisfied by the acceptance of Jesus? Are you living for the acceptance of your friends? Or are you satisfied by the acceptance of Jesus has for you? so we can live this life. And it says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, when we maybe feel we don't have enough courage or boldness to go share, it says, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He will never leave us and never forsake us. Wherever we are, he will never lead us. There's a sportsman in America, and he's a quarterback, and he's a Christian, and thought of these letters and numbers. And the letters and numbers were A-O-1. A-O-1. And what that stands for is audience of one. Who are we living for? Are we living for the friends, or are we living for that audience of one? We're living for Jesus. So God will never leave us, never forsake us, never abandon us, and we need to live for him. So that's a bit about our friends and how we act towards them. But I want to ask you about brothers and sisters. Who here has a brother or sister? Hands up. Brothers and sisters. We all have brothers and sisters. Now hands up if you are the oldest. Okay. I'm the oldest. This is a picture of me and my brothers. A lot of you have met us on Belfast. And I'm the oldest of them three. Who else here is the oldest, sorry? Represent the oldest. Come on. So a bit about the older siblings. I was looking up, what's a typical older sibling? Well, everything is new to us. We get new clothes. Every day is new for our parents. Our parents has never raised a child before until they got to us. So it's always new. We usually got the front seat in the car. And apparently, we are known as the responsible ones. I'm not sure about that, but we are known as the responsible ones. Now, hands up the younger siblings. Now, hands up if you're sort of in the middle. Okay, so you've got a bit of both to this, I think. I think you've got a bit of both to this. But younger siblings. So, younger siblings, to your older siblings, you get away with absolutely anything. You get away with murder. Absolutely. You get away with absolutely anything, and you're spoiled rotten. You're spoiled rotten as the younger siblings. But, one downside to being the younger sibling, you always got hand-me-downs. All the time. You got hand-me-downs. You always got hand-me-downs. And I want to tell you a story. About hand-me-downs. So me and my brothers share a bedroom back home in Belfast. We've got a big room with three beds, wardrobes. We share a room. And Jonah, who's the middle brother, Jonah's very tidy. His side of the room is probably immaculate. Like, everything laid out perfectly. Everything. Bed sheets rolled back each morning. It's all perfect. Lee is the youngest one. And he's like the polar opposite. His bed's a mess. There's always clothes on the floor. No matter what, there's always clothes. And I think I lie somewhere sort of in the middle of them two. In the middle. But Jonah would be going through his clothes. And maybe he doesn't like something, or something doesn't fit anymore. And he'd be like, I don't want that anymore. And would just chuck it across the Lee's side of the room. Now, it didn't matter. Lee's clothes were on the floor anyway, so Lee wasn't going to notice. So it fell on Lee's side of the room. Went to bed that night. Lee doesn't notice. And it comes to like sort of 2-3 weeks later, where Lee eventually decides to tidy his side of the room. And then sees the thing that's Jonah's and chucks it back over to his side of the room. And it's just this constant tennis match between this T-shirt that just goes off. And some of the time it landed on mine, and I'm not sure who got it in the end. But we all have these brothers and sisters, and we have so many stories to tell. For some of us, it's a great experience having brothers and sisters. For some of us, it's been a tough experience. But I want to talk about different brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters that I have. Me as a believer, a follower of Jesus. Everyone else who is a follower of Jesus is also my brother and sister. This is a picture of me and my brothers and sisters as well. That's a picture. of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul was a guy in the New Testament, and Paul wrote a load of letters to these churches and addressed a load of his letters, "Dear brothers and sisters, we are brothers and sisters united by one common denominator, united by one person. We don't always have a lot in common apart from one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that we are united by as brothers and sisters." Now, how do we act towards each other as brothers and sisters? I think one amazing way is encouragement. And I'm going to get on to that in a second, but I want to look at a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 27, 17 says this: "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another brother. As iron sharpens iron, so one sister sharpens another sister." Now, what does that mean? If sharpness is a good thing. If you're off to a wedding or a formal or a prom and someone tells you you're looking sharp, you're looking good. You're looking good. If someone tells you you are mentally sharp, it means you're on it. You're pretty good. Eddie, I'm about to call you out here. But last night, Eddie was helping cook the dinner in for Connect for the life group. Was cutting the vegetables and was struggling. He was using the blunt end of the knife. So we love you, Eddie. It's okay. We love you, Eddie. But using the sharp end of the knife, he got a lot further. So sharpness can be a good thing. And that can be for us as well. Sharpness. When we are sharp, we are better. We are the better version of ourselves. So how do we? How do we get sharper? How do we sharpen one another? I think one amazing way to sharpen one another is encouragement. Encouragement. How do we encourage? Encouragement is such an amazing thing. Encouragement could be the thing that just helps that person get that one more thing that they're going to do something amazing for Jesus by you sending an encouragement. Turn to the person beside you and encourage them. Say their hers nice. Say something. Just encourage. Encourage. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. So listen up. So encouragement is such an amazing thing. Encouragement is such an amazing thing. And even when I was looking there, as people are encouraging each other, just these smiles of joy, these hugs, these smiles of joy come upon people's faces as we encourage one another. Imagine if we were a community. Imagine if we were a family, as brothers and sisters together, constantly in the practice of encouraging one another. Imagine how great that would be. Imagine how joyful we would be. Going to school each day, encouraging each other. And that doesn't have to be, I'll see that person in 2 weeks' time and then I'll encourage them. It can be a simple text. Encourage someone on your way out tonight. Encourage them as they go to school. Send them a text in the morning saying, "Oh, you're amazing at that. I love seeing you serve." Or, "Oh, all the best for that exam today. I hope it goes really well." Constant encouragement can be an amazing thing. And Hebrews 3:13 says this: "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. But encourage one another daily." It's not something we should do just when we come to church, but we can get into the rhythm of encouraging one another daily. I challenge you to encourage someone each day this week. Each day this week, go and encourage someone. But as brothers and sisters, we're also meant to do life together. doing life together is pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. And we want to replicate what the early church were doing. In Acts 42, it says all the believers met together. All the believers who are, the brothers and sisters met together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Fellowship meaning they encouraged one another. They went to Costa together. They hung out together. They sent each other texts encouraging each other. So the brothers and sisters devoted themselves to the teaching, to fellowship, hanging out with each other, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Doing this life together is awesome. I want to challenge you again. Younger youth, hang out with each other. Go and ask these older youth to hang out with. Older youth, invest in these younger youth as well. We're brothers and sisters together. Do life together. Because I've seen people do life together and it is awesome. And it just builds one another up. A quote I just want to read out from an American government official said this. He said, "The fellowship of true friends, of brothers and sisters who can hear you out, share your joys, help carry your burdens, and correctly counsel you is priceless." It is priceless, guys, this community we have together. So we've talked about our friendship. We've talked about our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to talk about who Jesus is. Jesus had many names. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. Jesus was also called the Friend of Sinners. Friend of Sinners. What is a sinner, first of all? It's someone who, we were all sinners. We all are sinners. We've turned away from God. And Jesus is our friend. I want to tell you a story, a parable, just in a second or two. But this relationship with Jesus, we need to have it healthy. It needs to be healthy. It needs to be growing. Because if our relationship with Jesus isn't growing, then telling our friends about Jesus and doing fellowship with our brothers and sisters isn't going to be the best we can be. So if we don't get the Jesus relationship sorted, we won't live to our full potential telling people about Jesus or hanging out with our brothers and sisters. But this parable is one Jesus tells. Jesus is hanging out in the courtyards, and these Pharisees come up. Pharisees in the Bible were sort of these VIPs. I can imagine them, VIPs, the nicest robes, the most well-groomed beards. They were the top dogs, apparently. But Jesus came, and he was hanging out with, like, tax collectors, people who were cheating others of their money. And these Pharisees came along and were like, "Jesus, why are you hanging out with these filthy sinners? Why are you the friend of these sinners?" And Jesus tells this parable. He says, there was two sons and a father. Two sons and a father who were living on a farm. And one of the sons was farming away. And their father had this money. He had this money set aside for when he died, that it was going to be split in two and go to each of his sons. Fair enough. But one of his sons gets fed up with the farming. He says, "You know what? Stuff this farming nonsense. I want my money now. I want to go. I want my money now." So he goes to his dad and says, "Dad, let me have the money now." His dad says, "Okay, here you go. Here's your part of the money." So the son goes, he's like, happy days, chucks the shovel down, gets his farming clothes off, and he is on, packs his bags, off he goes. He hits the road, and he goes, and he lives these wild parties. He stays up as late as he wants. He does what he wants. He takes what he wants. He lives this wild lifestyle, this crazy lifestyle that he wanted to live, that he thought was the best lifestyle possible. Until he ran out of money. Until he ran out of money. And And he's not getting enough food. He's not getting enough sleep. And he's thinking, oh, what am I going to do now? He was with the pigs. Even the food the pigs were eating looked appetizing to him. Even that looked appetizing. But he thinks, oh, you know what? Even the servants of my father, even my father's servants got something to eat. They got a decent bit to eat. So he thinks, right, I'm going to get up. I'm going to pack my bags. He's got this whole apology written out, this whole speech written out. How am I going to face Dad? How am I going to face my father? I've taken his money and wasted it, but I guess it's just, I'll go for it. And he goes and he's on his way back. He's on his way back, and it says in the Bible, while he was a long way off, his father ran to him. His father ran to him. Now the son must be thinking in the distance, oh, here comes Dad. I am getting grilled. I'm done. I'm out for the count here. And his father runs to him and hugs him and embraces him. Whoa, he hugged him and embraced him? But the son had just wasted all his money. The father was more overjoyed because his son had returned home. What was lost was now found. What was lost was now found. And I'm going to ask the band to jump up on stage. And the lost, so the son was lost. He had lived his life. He had lived this wild life. But now he was found. He found his acceptance from his father. And the father doesn't just hug him and embrace him, but he goes the extra bit. And he puts the family robe on him. Puts the finest robe on him, puts the family ring on his finger, and says, everybody, throw a party, throw a celebration. My son has returned home. He was once lost, but is now found. And that is the kind of love Jesus shows us. That is the kind of love God has for us. Imagine an egg cup. We all have boiled eggs sometimes. Imagine an egg cup. Now, you've all heard of Niagara Falls, yeah? You've all heard of Niagara Falls, this huge waterfall in the Canadian-American border. Imagine putting an egg cup in that waterfall. Imagine we are that egg cup, and God's love is that waterfall. That's how much love he has for us. He lavishes the love on us. He lavishes love all over us. We have sinned. We know we are guilty, but he continues to lavish this love on us. He loves you so, so much. Now who here admits they're not perfect? Yeah, we all do. We all admit we're not perfect. But Jesus is the friends. Jesus is the friend to people who are willing to admit they're not perfect. Sometimes we put off this Christian stuff saying, oh, I need to be good. I need to be kind of good to do that. You don't have to be good to be Jesus' friend. You just have to be honest. You just have to be honest with him. You don't have to be good. You just have to be honest. Jesus loves you so much. He's forgiven you for all that you've done wrong. And I'm going to ask that we all we'll close our eyes and bow our heads. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. And I'm going to ask if tonight you've heard God's word and you feel like, you know what, I need to just take this bold step of faith and accept Jesus and begin this relationship with him. Listen, that is the best decision you will ever make, to say, you know what, I don't want to live for me anymore, but I want to live for Jesus. He loves you so much. I want to ask if you want to make that decision tonight and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to come and meet me over at the right-hand side of the stage in a second. And I also want to ask, maybe you once were a Christian, were once living for God, and you've fallen away. And tonight you want to make a statement. You want to declare that, you know what, I'm done living for me. I'm done living this lifestyle that I want to live. And I want to live for Jesus again. I want to re-give my life back to Jesus. I want to turn things around. If that's you, come and meet me over at the right-hand side of the stage as well. Remember, you're here tonight and you heard about telling our friends about Jesus, and you find that difficult. You struggle with that. Or not giving in to the gossip and the things that they want to do that isn't right in God's eyes. Maybe you struggle with that. And I want to ask you to be bold. And if that's you, and you want more courage and boldness to not give in to that temptation, but to stand strong for Jesus, I want to ask you to stand up. Be bold. You don't have to all stand up. But be bold. If you need more courage in those tough times where we are struggling, where you're struggling to tell people about Jesus and give in to them temptations, I just want you to stand. Now, what the next thing I want to do is, we were speaking about being brothers and sisters. Being brothers and sisters. I want to do something in a second. But if the first thing again, if you want to come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make that decision to come and follow Jesus. I want you to come and meet me over here now. If that's you, you want to declare tonight, you know what, I want to give my life back to Jesus. I want to declare tonight's the night. I want to give my life back to Jesus. I'll be waiting here. But for those who are standing, these are our brothers and sisters, guys. These are our brothers and sisters. So what I want us to do is to get around these guys and pray for them. Pray for these guys for more courage, more boldness as they go into school, as they go in and try and not give in to the temptations that are in there. So I want us to stand up and get around these guys and just let's start praying. Start praying for these guys. That they will have more boldness, that they will have more courage as they go into their schools, as they go into their colleges. So yeah, let's just start praying. Just start praying, guys. Pray for boldness and courage over them. Guys, Leah just has felt she's had a word for God. She's going to just share with us quickly.
So I felt earlier, and I felt it again now, God just wanted to let everyone know that there is nowhere you can run away that his love can't find, that there's nowhere, there's no dark place you can be in, there's no mess you can be in where God's not going to come and find you. And he always makes the first move. He always has made the first move. He sent Jesus. We just need to accept it. It's not a thing of, oh, is he going to love me back? No, he loves you already. There's no way that he'll reject you. He just loves you, and there's no place you can run. Like when you were at a friend's house and you didn't want your parents to pick you up, you'd hide. God knows where you are. He knows the mess you're in. He knows how you're feeling, but he loves you anyway. But yeah.
Awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that. Guys, we're gonna stand and we're gonna sing a few more songs of worship. But if you feel you want prayed for about something more specific, or just prayer for anything, come grab one of the leaders. We would love to pray for you and have a chat with you. And again, if you do want to make that decision to give your life to Jesus tonight, or come back to knowing Jesus, want to get back into giving your life to Jesus, then come and see me over at this side.